Good morning. It's good to see everybody this morning. Glad you could all join us. If you've noticed in your bulletin, the sermon title this morning is Immediacy. Immediacy is the quality of bringing into a direct and instant involvement with something or giving rise to a sense of urgency or excitement. Another definition says it's the fact of something that seems real and important. When I was thinking about immediacy, I remembered back to 1992 and the regional finals of the NCAA basketball tournament. What has been termed or decided as one of the most memorable basketball games of all time. It was a regional final between Kentucky and Duke, and it came down with just over a second left, and Kentucky had the lead by 1 point. And it looked like Kentucky was going to pull out yet another victory in the NCAA tournaments and make it to the finals that year. But there was 1-plus second left, and after a timeout, Grant Hill took the ball and threw it 75 feet down the court to Christian Laettner, and Christian Laettner turned around and sunk the game-winning basket. And there was immediacy on both sides of the court while Grant Hill was standing out of bounds with the basketball, because all 10 players on the floor and the referees knew that they all had to do their jobs just right. The players knew that if they did their job just right, their team would win. And so all 10 players had a sense of immediacy. It was right there. It was important. It was urgent at the moment. Or then there was the 2016 World Series. The Chicago Cubs were trying to break their century-plus-long record of futility. And it came down to the 10th inning of the 7th game, and the Cubs were up by one point. The Cubs were up by 1 point in the inning. There were two on and two out. And a sense of immediacy. Both teams knew that if they did their job right, they would win. To add a little tension to it, the Cubs decided it was time for a pitching change. And then Mike Montgomery threw his first pitch to Michael Martinez, and a soft hit to Chris Bryant at third base, and a throw over to Anthony Rizzo, and the century-long drought had come to an end. You see, there's a sense of immediacy that goes with things in life. And this morning I want you to understand that we're supposed to have that kind of immediacy. We're supposed to have that kind of emotions as followers of Christ. You see, we have a message that is of greater value than any sports championship. We have a message that is greater than any job, anything that you are called to do. You see, this attitude of immediacy is much of what made the early church grow, and to grow with the speed and the clarity that it grew with. So this morning, I want us to see the necessity of immediacy as we look at Acts chapter 8. If you want to turn there with me, if you've got a Bible, we'll be in Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse 26. If you don't have a Bible, there's Bibles in the chairs on the bottom in front of you, or in the pews in front of you, or you might have to scoot down a little bit, but there's Bibles there for you. Or if you've got an electronic device and have access to a Bible, that would be great, but please don't play Candy Crush or something. That the people around you might be jealous. Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse 26, Luke records this. He says, "But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Go up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road. So we got up and went, And there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasures. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go up and join his chariot." Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "Well, how could I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now there was a passage of Scripture which he was reading was this: "He was led like a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life was removed from the earth." The eunuch answered Philip and said, "Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from the Scripture, he preached Jesus to him. As they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he ordered the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went away on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus. And as he passed through, he kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. You see, there's a sense of immediacy that we as followers of Christ are supposed to have. And there is a sense of immediacy that we are supposed to portray to others. And as Luke records this, we see that there are two sides to the immediacy and two things that we have to see. The first one is the immediacy of going. There is supposed to be an immediacy about us that takes us from where we are to where God desires for us to go. I like the way Paul puts it in Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, beginning with the 13th verse, Paul says this. He says, "For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news of good things. However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ." You see, Paul says the same thing in Luke. Luke records an account. Luke records for us how things take place. Paul, on the other hand, he says that all of us are supposed to have the same immediacy that Philip felt. You see, first of all, we have to have the immediacy to go. Philip was preaching the gospel in Samaria, and if you read what we read last week and talked about last week with Philip going to Samaria, and then you read what transpires from in the rest of chapter 8 leading up to verse 26, what you find is that Philip was having a very good run in Samaria. And for all means and purposes, we would have said, Philip, stay in Samaria, stay where you are, and preach the gospel to these people, for they need to hear the truth. But someone had to go. And Philip was spoken to by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit said to Philip, "Philip, I want you to get up and I want you to go down past Jerusalem towards Gaza. I want you to go, and when you get there, on the way somewhere, I'll tell you what you're supposed to be doing." And so for Philip, there was this call, there was this sense that he needed to go, and there was a sense of immediacy with it. It was one of those things where Philip said, "You know what? This is an urgent matter. This is something that I need to do." And I think too often, we as followers of Christ, we get to the point where we think, well, everybody's had an opportunity to hear. Everybody I know has heard the gospel. And so what good does it for me to take the gospel? But here's what I know. We are called to have a sense of immediacy. Paul says that people cannot respond to something they have not heard about. People cannot make a decision about who Jesus Christ is unless they have heard the message. And so the first thing that we have to do is we have to have an immediacy about the need to go. And then as we look at what was taking place with Philip, we also see that we have an immediacy that we have to be listening and paying attention when we go. Here's Philip. He's going down the road and he's catching up to this. Well, most of our translations say a chariot, but more than likely it was more of an ox cart. It was more of a wagon of some sort that multiple people could fit in. I mean, after all, there is the driver who's driving and there's the eunuch, and it sounds like maybe as we read this story that the eunuch is reading this account to somebody and there's room for Philip. And so don't think of Ben-Hur and the army war chariots, if you're old enough to remember Ben-Hur, or of the Ten Commandments and the Egyptians chasing the Israelites into this, you know, Charlton Heston, and don't think of those kinds of chariots. Rather, think of a wagon that you could put stuff in the back of. There was room for people to sit, and probably this wasn't just your ordinary normal wagon, but being that this was a high-ranking official of the Queen of Ethiopia, probably this was a pretty nice decked-out chariot and probably had all of the newest features in it, and he was riding along, but they're riding along and he's reading, and Philip is going to pay attention. He's paying attention to the surroundings. He's paying attention to what's going on. And so as he comes up to this chariot, he hears the Ethiopian eunuch reading from the prophet Isaiah. Now, if I had been this eunuch, I might have found something better than the prophet Isaiah to be reading, but he's reading the prophet Isaiah. And he's in a pretty difficult section, nonetheless, of Isaiah. And as he's going along, Philip is listening, and he's listening not just to the words, but he's listening and paying attention to what's going on. And when we are going, we have to be willing to listen to the people that we're sitting with and the people that we're walking with and the people that we're doing life with. Because sometimes it's the things that they say, and sometimes, like Philip in this situation, it's simply paying attention to what the situation is. And so here is the Ethiopian eunuch reading from Isaiah. At the same time, Philip is looking and understanding that this man is a eunuch. And if you don't understand what a eunuch is a man who has had his manhood removed, so that he can safely be around the women of the court. There were several different ways they did that, and the most likely was through castration, but sometimes it was more Lorena Bobbitt style, if you remember that piece of news. And if not, you can just ask your parents later, teenagers. I'm not getting into it. But you understand that he was safe to leave amongst the women, the harem or the high-ranking female officials such as the Queen of Ethiopia, because there wasn't anything happening. But this wasn't the problem. The problem was as a eunuch, he was not allowed full participation in the worship in Jerusalem. In fact, the Gentiles could go into the court of the Gentiles and worship, but a eunuch wasn't allowed into the temple. He could come up to the gates and he could offer his sacrifice through someone coming at the gate, but he couldn't go into worship. If he was trying to become a Jew, he wasn't allowed to become a Jew because they couldn't perform the ritual of circumcision. And so he could not become a full Jew, a proselyte. And so this eunuch was being excluded from worship. And so as he's reading this passage from Isaiah and Philip is listening, Philip has the opportunity to say, oh, you know what? The messianic prophecy that this guy is reading is about to make this great connection for him. Because you see, the messianic prophecies proclaimed that there would be an acceptance of the eunuchs and others who would have been excluded from the temple worship. In fact, Isaiah 56:3, which is only a couple chapters, which was probably not even a full turn of the scroll from where this eunuch was reading, says this. He says, "Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, Lord, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. And let not the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree." You see, God made this promise that he was going to include everybody, and Philip hears this, and Philip keys in on these promises and these prophecies. And so you have to be willing to go, you have to be willing to listen, and then you have to be willing to preach. Luke records, and he says that Philip began to preach to the eunuch, beginning with the scriptures that he was reading, and he proclaimed Jesus Christ. That's the message that we have to take. We have the message, and it's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ crucified and Jesus Christ raised from the dead. Jesus Christ ascended to the right hand of the Father with all authority given unto Him in heaven and on earth. That is the message that we have to preach. No other message will do. No other message is given to us but that message. Jesus Christ died, raised from the grave, and ascended into heaven. And Philip preaches that message. It's what Paul says. He says, how shall they hear unless somebody goes? Unless somebody preaches to them, they cannot make a decision about what Jesus Christ is saying. Now, the urgency is this. If you look at the situation here in the book of Acts, you realize that there was only a short period of time. There was only a matter of a certain amount of time that it was going to take this Ethiopian eunuch to make it from Jerusalem to Gaza. And God was in the process of getting Philip from Samaria to somewhere in that road with enough time for him to preach the gospel and for him to respond. And so there is an immediacy, there is a necessity of him going now. Not waiting until it's convenient, not waiting until he's done preaching in Samaria and thinks he's reached his full intent, but God says to him, you need to get up and you need to go. And when Philip heard this, Philip got up and he went, because God had a plan and God had a place for him to be. And I think too often we get too comfortable to hear God saying, I want you to go across the room, I want you to go across the street, I want you to go, and you really kind of need to go now. Because you see, there are times when, just like this eunuch, we can meet people at just the right point in time if we listen to what the Spirit is saying. And if we don't, we miss the opportunity. You see, there was an immediacy in the situation, because you have to understand, you look at this guy's story, and this was probably the only opportunity he was going to have to hear the message of Jesus Christ. He was going to get to Gaza and get on a boat, and he was going to go on that boat and follow the coast down to the mouth of the Nile, and then he was going to follow the Nile down to what is modern-day Sudan. And probably this was his only opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if this was his only opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, this may have been the only opportunity, and certainly this was the most expedient opportunity, for the gospel to spread to the Nubians, which is where modern-day Sudan is. And this was also there's also the immediacy of the fact of the coming judgment. The fact that there is coming a day, and we don't know when it is. We don't know if the day of judgment is yet today, or if it is tomorrow, or if it is another 1,000 years from now. Only God the Father knows the day and the hour. But there is a coming judgment. And what I know is that each one of us will die and we will stand before the judge. Or else Jesus Christ will return and we will be caught up together with those who are already parted, and then we will stand before the judge. The righteous and the unrighteous. Scripture says that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God. Every one of us will stand before God in judgment, and so we have a message to tell because people need to know that there is a coming judgment, but that there is also a solution, and that is Jesus Christ, dead, buried, raised to life, and seated at the right hand of God the Father. There is an immediacy that we have for going, and we have to get that fire back within us. But there is an immediacy of the response. This morning, maybe you're sitting here and saying, you know what, I'm not a follower of Jesus Christ, and so this doesn't apply to me. Well, here's the truth. There is an immediacy of the response. Maybe you're not yet one who's supposed to take the gospel, but maybe you're one of the ones who's supposed to hear. And here's the immediacy of the response. It begins with asking for help. It begins with saying, you know what, I can't understand all of the Scriptures on my own. There are things there that just don't make sense. And the truth of the matter is the Scriptures themselves say that those who are outside of Jesus Christ, there are things that they can't understand. That there are things that if you don't know who Jesus is and you don't have the right framework and you don't have the Spirit, there are things that just will never make sense. There are things that you can look at all day long and you can understand what the words say, but the meaning isn't there. And so sometimes we have to find people, and you have to be willing to say, you know what, I need some help understanding what the Scriptures say. Just like this Ethiopian eunuch, he's one of the most well-educated people in the world. As sitting in the court of the Queen of Ethiopia, he had been well educated. And he's reading a language that wasn't his first language. Either he has a Greek scroll or Greek manuscript reading Greek, or he has a Hebrew manuscript reading Hebrew and a Semitic language, and they weren't his first language. But yet he's reading the prophet Isaiah. He's well educated, but he just doesn't understand the meaning of Scripture. And when Philip comes along, he says, hey, can you help me understand what the prophet is speaking about? And sometimes people just need to know that they can come and ask, what does this mean? I don't understand this passage of Scripture. What does it mean? And we can help them. And sometimes it also means that we help them understand the necessary response. You see, Luke doesn't record any of the words that Philip spoke. We don't know the message. We just know the general outline, Jesus Christ. That's how much we know about what Philip spoke to this eunuch. He preached Jesus Christ from the Scriptures. But there comes a point when the Ethiopian eunuch looks at him and says, look, there's water. What prevents me from being baptized? And so what we know is that Philip has gone through this message and he's told him about Jesus Christ, who he is, what he's done, and he's told him about the necessity of accepting and responding to Jesus Christ in the appropriate way. How can they hear unless somebody is sent? How can they make a decision unless somebody preaches? And Philip preached, and this man understood the necessity, and then we see the immediacy of the response. Because they're riding along, and all of a sudden they're riding along, the Ethiopian eunuch sees the water, and the Ethiopian eunuch looks at him and he says, "Philip, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? What prevents me from responding to the gospel the way that you have told me I should?" And in this moment, the Ethiopian eunuch, first of all, acknowledges his sinfulness and his need. You see, one of the things that we do when we come to a point when we're willing to acknowledge that Jesus Christ died for our sins is, first of all, we acknowledge our sinfulness. If Jesus Christ died for my sins, it means that I had sins that needed to be dealt with. And he acknowledges his need, because he's not only saying Jesus died for my sins, but he's saying I can't do anything about them on my own. And this is part of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, is that each one of us is sinners, and as sinners we have a guilt before God that we can do nothing about, but Jesus Christ did. God's love and God's mercy provided a way for our sins to be dealt with. And so the eunuch acknowledges his sinfulness, and then he acknowledges the offer extended by the suffering servant. You see, Philip would have shown him that Jesus was the servant that the prophet Isaiah was speaking of. Philip would have shown him what Jesus did on the cross and what that meant, and what the fact that Jesus rose from the grave and that had a meaning. And then he would have explained that Jesus ascended into heaven, where he sits at God's right hand. And now there is a new king and a new kingdom. There is a new ruler, and it's Jesus Christ. And so this Ethiopian eunuch acknowledged the offer that was extended by the suffering servant, and he recognizes the opportunity for obedience. And he says, "Look, there is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And I'm reminded of the story of Naaman from 2 Kings. In 2 Kings 5, Naaman is one of the Assyrian generals, and Naaman is covered in leprosy. And he has this servant girl that was taken as a captive from a raid in Israel. She says to her mistress, the general's wife, "Look, there's this prophet in Israel who can heal. Why doesn't my lord go to him and see if he can get healed?" And Naaman goes, and Naaman meets the prophet. Well, actually, he never meets the prophet. The message is sent out from the prophet by his servant Gehazi, and the message is this: go and dip 7 times in the Jordan River, and you'll be healed. And Naaman says, "Oh no, man, I can't do that. Look, there's better rivers in Assyria that I can dip in than this Jordan River." "What? No, that just doesn't make any sense." One of his servants is quite perceptive and says, "Look, Lord, now, if the wise man had asked you to do some great thing or give some great gift, you would have done it. Look, you brought all these gifts. You were prepared to give a great offering. But he asks you something simple." And so Naaman said, "You know what? You're right." And he goes and he dips once, and then he dips twice, and 3, 4, 5... and 6, and he still comes up just as leprous as he had every time before, and he goes down the 7th time in obedience. And when he comes back up, his skin is as pure as any other skin has ever been. You see, it's the obedience. And he was restored. And the Ethiopian eunuch heard the gospel call, and he heard the message, and he heard that his response was supposed to be in baptism. And he said, look, there's water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he didn't put it off. He didn't say, you know what? There's better water in Ethiopia. He said, now is the time. And here's what I think. Now, here's what I know. Immediacy is contagious. Immediacy is contagious. If we have a sense of immediacy that we're supposed to go and share the gospel of Jesus Christ, then those that we share the gospel with will have an immediacy about fulfilling the call of the gospel. I think sometimes we don't reach the people that God has asked us to reach because we'll do it when we get around to it. We'll do it when it's convenient. We'll do it when the weather's nicer. We'll do it when there's something that would give us a better opportunity. We'll do it when we know more. We'll do it when the kids are grown up. We'll do it when the cows come home. We'll do it when pigs fly. We'll do it some other time. But Jesus says that now is the day of salvation. Now is the appropriate time. Now is our opportunity to take the gospel message to someone. And if we have a sense of immediacy, if we have a sense that we are supposed to take the gospel of Jesus Christ, people will respond. This morning, if you need to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we're going to sing a hymn. Well, probably a song, not a hymn. But we're going to sing, and we're going to sing together and worship together. And if you need to make a decision for Jesus Christ, we would love to have you come and make that decision and to begin to walk with Jesus Christ. Now, I know the baptistry isn't full right now, but you know what? I found out it takes 20 minutes to fill it. So if you need to make a decision for Jesus Christ this morning, you know what? We can sing our hymn, you can come down, we can visit, and then we can go have a donut and a cup of coffee, and they'll fill the baptistry while we're in there enjoying a donut, and we can come back and we can be obedient to Jesus Christ. And we can fulfill the call to submit ourselves to Him and be raised to a newness of life. And if you need to make that commitment, that decision this morning, we'd love to celebrate with you. But this morning, the message is to all of us. And we may not have a need to make an immediate decision for Jesus Christ, but we have to have the attitude of immediacy that says, I'm going to go and take the gospel to somebody who does need to know. Let's stand together as we sing our hymn of invitation this morning.